broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I think it's ridiculous. I think the kids should be allowed to play.
I am, frankly, shocked.
I'm kind of nervous about it. It's like it's coming. Here it is.
Unfortunately, since I made that decision, members of Congress have...
Bleeping retarded.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The only news, talk, and entertainment show that seems to be left that knows what it's talking about. Radio for patriots by patriots, a professional operation in a world of amateurs. Oh, baby. Anyway, welcome to our program, and don't forget, our Patriot line open right now at 877-876-PHIL. Right now, 877-876-PHIL. That's our Patriot line. And you join us, and when you do join us, you, of course, are committing to... You are committing to being a part of an army. No, not just an army, a legion, a Roman legion, as we just step all over the horse dung, man. Of course, you got to hose it off later, but...
That would be expected.
But welcome here to Radio for Patriots by Patriots, our number 877-876-PHIL, and we go places other talk shows cannot go. Tonight on the show, we will be talking to Mr. Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, who was in Detroit for the Charlie Sheen show. He wants his money back. And there aren't any refunds being given out for the disaster that was the Detroit Charlie Sheen show. There's no refunds being given out. And yet Mr. Bozell will demand that recompense. Our affiliate spotlight tonight on Riverside San Bernardino's KMET 1490 AM and KVOL 1330 AM in Lafayette, Louisiana. And we're online at philhendryshow.com right now with the Phil TV in HD webcast. And, of course, we are on the air over 115 affiliates across the country. If you're looking for an affiliate in your area, you can go to our affiliates list. That's our affiliates list at philhendryshow.com and get yourself a backstage pass for all of our archives, everything that we have to offer there, so you are always on top of things. And, of course, our daily podcast as well, The Daily Show, and we have a podcast of our classic Phil material as well at philhendryshow.com. All right, we're going to get Mr. Stephen Bozell on the line here from Corona, California, and talk to him about the Charlie Sheen show in Detroit. He, by the way, revamped it. And this is not really about Charlie Sheen, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't really about his show. This is about at least one man believing that he has a right to a refund because the show was bad. He's also proposing a lawsuit to force Sheen to refund the money from this show on Friday night. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's listen before we talk to Mr. Bozell to... Charlie Sheen, I don't know if this is him. This is the Guardian newspaper with a camera outside the Detroit venue. The Guardian? Isn't that a British paper?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm so happy to see we're relevant here. That wow, a British newspaper. Anyway, the Guardian had a camera outside the Detroit venue as streams of audience members started to walk out of the show.
10 minutes in the show and I'm leaving. It's horrible. It's not winning, it's losing.
Waste your money. Sell them. Sell them while you can. It's awful. There's talk Snoop Dogg was going to be here. There's a whole menu of what's going to be. You know, where's Snoop Dogg? You know,
Snoop Dogg?
Don't do it, people. Don't do it. Because
the only reason I went.
There's nothing. Nothing.
Dog. Charlie was terrible. The stories didn't even make sense.
Absolute train wreck. Train wreck.
Horrible.
All right, we get the picture. Stephen Bozell, you were there, sir, correct?
Yes, I was, sir.
And same opinion?
Yes, sir. It was not as it was advertised, and the double problem, of course, for a lot of us, that we had brought friends.
Now, you're from California, and you went out to Detroit for the show, right?
Yes, sir.
When did you leave? Like the day of the show?
No, we actually left the night before, and I went out with a friend of mine our wives, for whatever reason, didn't want to go, but we thought it would be fun, and I decided to put it on the company. Company credit card, which I have, and we flew out to Detroit on Thursday. We went to the Renaissance Hotel in Detroit, for three nights because we were going to stay for Saturday night. We were going to stay for Sunday night. So we went out to Detroit and
yeah, you got your days mixed up. Were you there on Thursday?
No, I'm sorry. We went out on Friday.
Because the show was Saturday night, right?
Yes, sir. Yes. So we went to the Fox Theater, which was where the Charlie Sheen show was on Saturday night, yes.
All right, now, you went into this show, and it was not a good show, and I've heard a million people reviewing it, and we know who Charlie Sheen is, and the interesting part of your story, Mr. Bozell, is that you are, and I heard people asking for refunds, and I heard, I think Mr. Sheen very snidely said, I've got your money, it's an experiment, and you knew what you were getting into. What do you say to that?
What do I say to what?
Well, the fact that Sheen said this was an experimental show.
That's not what. Charlie Sheen, Mr. Sheen, I gave a lot of support to him. I felt that he was the next level because I do some stand-up comedy myself. I write jokes and I do some of the stand-up comedy. And
what do you do for a living, though? What is your?
Well, I'm a construction contractor.
Okay. So you are a joke writer. Did you feel that Mr. Sheen's show was worthy of seeing for its humor?
Yes, sir. I thought he had said that he was going to have a new level of comedy and everything, and I had seen him on his different broadcasts that he did on Ustream, and so I was very confident that I was going to see a new level. When I got to the Detroit, and we got our rooms, and we went to the theater, I knew that I felt still that it was going to be a good show because he was late coming out. And I don't know if you're familiar, but if you're late, people late coming on stage, that they're good. That means that they're good. And then he came out, and I was pretty much stunned. I mean, I didn't know that it could ever be like that. And Mr. Pettigrew, who I was with. And
now this is Cliff Pettigrew, who's a partner of yours.
No, he's one of my employees. But we went out to the show.
Okay.
Mr. Pettigrew said to me, "Well, let's get out of here." And I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Because this," and he made some disparaging comments about how bad it was. He said, "This is terrible," and he said, "I have to get out. I've got to get away." And so I said to him, "Well, I want to get my money's worth." So he left. I stayed till the end and never did get my money's worth. It was my feeling. And because it was so bad, that's when I came home. And also, of course, his comments to me, Mr. Pettigrew.
What did Mr. Pettigrew say? Did he help you? Did he prompt you in this lawsuit?
Because he was so disparaging in his comments, I thought that this would elevate me perhaps in his esteem or with my workers. And instead, it made me look even more bad, I guess, than...
Are you still at work, sir, by the way? I can hear, like, a saw or something.
Yes, I am, yeah.
Okay.
If it's too loud, I can...
No, that's all right. It's not too distracting. So you've come home, and you have immediately filed some kind of a class action?
We, first of all, called the promoter and demanded that we get our money back, and they said there were no refunds, and that time I made the statement to my secretary, you have no idea how bad it is, and they said, it doesn't matter, and I thought that was unbelievable because I told them how bad it was.
All right, no, I understand you think it was a bad show, but let's get to this lawsuit. What are you claiming in your lawsuit?
I'm claiming false advertising.
You're claiming false advertising? What else?
I'm claiming loss of reputation and standing for myself.
Loss of reputation and standing because why? Because Charlie Sheen's show was so bad, you look bad to a fellow employee.
No, this man is an employee of mine. He's not a fellow employee.
All right, so this man works for you. I understand that. And then what else were you suing for? I believe you were suing for some sort of an emotional distress.
Yes, sir. Intentional infliction of emotional distress and emotional cruelty because they... Mr. Sheen must have known that in going out there and being putting on a show that was as bad as that, that it would be cruel. Boy, would it be cruel. Because then anyone who come to the show, as I did with a friend of mine, would then also have to deal with that.
And so you're suing, sir, and I'm looking at this for $750,000. Now, I know that the law in most states require a dollar amount. You can put $50,000. Why $750,000?
Because Charlie Sheen is a big name, and I had a reasonable expectation to see a show that would be on the quality level of that. He assured everybody, because of Tiger Blood and all of the things he said he had, and the fact that I was with a friend of mine, so there was a double humiliation, and then finally, the fact that it was a humiliation for me. I mean, it was emotional cruelty for me to go there all the way, halfway across the country, away from my family, away from my friends, the things that I know, the things that I love, and to be as far away as that, as in Detroit, and to go there and find nothing but a wasteland, you know.
What do you mean a wasteland? What does that mean?
Well, a comedy wasteland, if you will, because of what I do, or what my, you know.
Sir, this is a frivolous lawsuit. You know that, don't you?
No, sir, it is not. No, sir.
Yes, it's a frivolous lawsuit, you know, and you know that the people of this country are tired of these kinds of things.
Mr. Henry, Charlie Sheen's been in the news as a big wheel and a big man, and he was going to do a show, and I had every reason to believe.
But when you start suing somebody who put on a bad performance, and
well, sir, what you're leaving out of this is that he gave everyone the reasonable expectation that he would be it would be sweet,
and he gave everyone the reasonable expectation that it would be sweet, huh? He told everybody he sold everybody a bill of goods.
Not. You probably don't understand how lawsuits work.
Well, maybe I don't, but I know a frivolous lawsuit when I hear of one, and you're going to sue this guy, Charlie Sheen, for what exactly? Because he stunk?
Well, first of all, because he's not doing refunds, and secondly, yes, because he said he gave the impression, he advertised, he led people to believe that he was some kind of a comedy god. And I believe that we all went there expecting that.
Well, I didn't hear that. I heard a lot of people say, I heard one guy say, I'm coming here to see something completely asinine, but hey, you know, it'll be fun.
No, I didn't hear that at all. I think you're making that up.
No, I'm not making up anything. I heard a guy say, and I maybe wasn't the Detroit show, it was the Chicago show, but...
Well, there you go right there, see? The Chicago show, that's a whole different story. Okay.
You have to take personal responsibility. That's what I'm trying to tell you. No one forced you to go see Charlie Sheen. Nobody said, I gotta go, you know, you have to go see Charlie Sheen.
No, sir, I'm taking personal responsibility. I'm taking personal responsibility by saying to myself and to you and to your listeners, and if there were anybody at the show in Detroit, that I'd like you to join me in filing my mass class action lawsuit against Charlie Sheen.
Nobody forced you or anybody else to go to that show. And this is what we talk about when we talk about personal responsibility to sue a guy.
You've heard of false advertising.
I've heard of false advertising, okay? I've heard of false, when the guy says, you know, this car has 8 cylinders and it's only got 6.
Well, when a man says you're going to see something so spectacular, and on top of that, Mr. Henry, what you're missing and what most people miss is the personal humiliation that I felt when my friend Mr. Pettigrew looked at me and said, let's get out of here. And I had looked so forward to
it. You might have looked forward to it, and maybe your friend looked forward to it. When your friend sat down, he said, let's get out of here. You call that he humiliated you. He was talking about the show.
But it was a humiliation on me, and you don't get that. You got to understand how lawsuits work.
Now, you know what? I don't think I need a whole lot of education to understand how lawsuits work. And I can tell you right now, yours doesn't sound all that well put together. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Stephen Bozell, I knew this had happened. I knew it. Charlie Sheen's show in Chicago, in Detroit on Saturday night was such a stiff. People were demanding their money back, and now Mr. Bozell is suing for emotional cruelty, for false advertising, for loss of reputation. All of it because of Charlie Sheen. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I don't know what you guys think. Maybe you think Charlie Sheen is such a disaster that he deserves to get sued. I don't have all that affection for Charlie Sheen. What I do have affection for is our country, our legal system, and I don't have affection for guys that try to take advantage of it. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast here. And we're speaking with Mr. Stephen Bozell, who did go to Detroit for the Charlie Sheen show. When we, you know, I have very little interest in Mr. Sheen or any people that advocate his kind of lifestyle. And I certainly have very little interest in what it is that he does for a living, other than some very fine acting jobs that he's done in a few films. But you went to see him. Why?
Well, I believe I told you, Mr. Henry, I went to see him because I thought it was going to be a very high level of comedy that he has pioneered, and I felt that that was going to be it.
All right, and you didn't get that, so now you want to file this frivolous lawsuit, and that's what I'm calling it, sir, a frivolous lawsuit to jam up the court system and to try to get yourself $750,000.
No, this is not a frivolous lawsuit, Mr. Henry. I'm going to just interrupt you there. This is why our courts are here, sir.
Are you all right?
Well, I'm just... This is why the court system is here. Because this is a landmark where a Hollywood big shot thinks he's going to go on a stage and make a bunch of funny faces or whatever he does, and everyone, all the hicks are going to go, oh, you know, and then he walks off with a few million, and this is wrong, and that's why we're saying it's wrong.
Yeah, but you were one of those guys that wanted to go see him and believe, weren't you?
Yes, sir, I did, because that's how he represented it. And
You refused to give yourself any of the responsibility for these bad decisions. That's the thing that I'm not hearing from you, sir. Aaron in Phoenix, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Steve Bozell. Go ahead, please.
All right, so yeah. I've heard of shows before that were hyped up, and I'd go to them, and I didn't like them. I'd say, oh, well, you know, it's just a bad show. I've gone with friends. I told them it was going to be good, and they said, why'd you think that was going to be good? I'm like, I don't know. Thought it was going to be good. But
right.
The point is, I don't, like, ask for my money back or, like, start up a big whole lawsuit. And you're talking about loss of character. Think about this. You go to court. You got a nice lawyer there with you, and you lose this case, and they're going to make fun of you in court because you're trying to sue another human being for basically not being funny. That's going to be more of a loss of a character. So think about what you have on the table here and what you stand to lose over what you stand to gain. It's not good, man. Not good at all.
Well, sir, I would ask the caller to consider this. You know, when you went to go see those shows and your friends went, man, why'd you drag us to this? You felt bad about that, but you didn't do anything about it, even though it was within your rights to do something about it.
Well,
you know,
like,
and I would also, I just want to point out one thing, Mr. Henry. There's precedent for this. The rock and roll group from Orlando, Florida, they're called Creed. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
Yes, I am.
They were sued by fans in Atlanta, Georgia, because their show was totally just rotten, and they were sued.
What was the upshot of that?
I do not know. But...
Well, look, Charlie Sheen is a drug addict. Charlie Sheen is a walking disaster. What made you think this guy was going to be some high level of comedy?
I don't understand what you mean. He's not had no drugs since he said he hadn't had any drugs in a long time, okay? If you saw, and I don't know if this gentleman, sir, did you see Sheen's Corner at all?
Am I still in, no, I haven't seen
it. Did you see Sheen's Corner, sir, that one that they had on TV?
No, I did not.
Okay, see, right there. So you can't comment.
I did.
Okay.
It sucked. It was the worst thing I ever saw in my life.
That's a lie, and you know it's a lie. And
no, it's the worst thing I ever saw from a professional entertainer like Charlie Sheen. Is a guy who's made millions on a big screen. This cat couldn't pull it off on a Ustream video.
I'm telling you right now, it was... Are you a police officer? Oh, great. Guy's a cop.
No, that's all right. Aaron, thank you very much for your call. I should have let that guy go because it does sound like he's got some other business to attend to. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking with Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell, put him on hold for just a second.
Got it.
And he is suing the promoter and Charlie Sheen, $750,000 worth, because the show that he went to on Saturday night in Detroit was that rotten that he wants his money back and he wants to sue on behalf of all the people that went and witnessed this abomination. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, Radio for Patriots by Patriots. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, live from the El Pacifico here. And if you are watching our video cast this evening, you can see that Phil TV in HD behind us is the El Pacifico, the churning Pacific Ocean. Our camera's catching what is outside the doors of our studio. And with us, Mr. Bozell, this late-night hour is still at work, a construction contractor, but a man who also went to Detroit on Saturday night to see the Charlie Sheen show. Now, I've told you, sir, and I'm not a schoolmarm trying to tell you what's up and what to do, but I don't know how else to tell you that this lawsuit, and you heard what the other man said, is going to be mocked in and of itself. Because it is a frivolous lawsuit when you say you want to sue a guy because the show that he did was rotten and he advertised that it wouldn't be.
If you are advertising that you are some sort of new kind of human being or some kind of new development of the human race, as Charlie Sheen very clearly had, and I've got notes here. I'm sorry. I have notes here.
It's all right.
And my attorney and I both went through his act. And I want to tell you something, Mr. Anthony.
This is a frivolous lawsuit because it is something that that you cannot sue for because you have to take responsibility for the fact that you went to this show.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Henry. This is a landmark lawsuit, not a frivolous lawsuit. This is going to be a landmark lawsuit. And as I said, Rosa Parks, okay, I'm sure you know who I'm talking about.
Rosa Parks?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And the reason why I'm bringing up Rosa Parks, if I could just finish.
Rosa Parks was involved in a civil rights movement, the likes of which would have would resound through the years.
If I could finish, sir, because there's not a lot different if you look at it from a purely from the standpoint of logic, much different from a consumer and a person who couldn't, you know, what were the black people in the 50s? They were consumers of a bus seat. And they're not getting a good seat, even though they pay the price. It's the same thing. If Jesus Christ had not, and I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but if he had not let them, the Jews, kill him, there would have been nothing left.
And what do you mean the Jews kill him? What is that?
I'm quoting one of your colleagues, Mr. Beck, said that the Jews killed him. And
don't quote one of my colleagues, man. You're not going to bring that on this radio program. And you're comparing yourself to Rosa Parks to give some kind of weight to your lawsuit. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here is Stephen in Pomona, California. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Stephen, go ahead.
Howdy. I was listening to this and listening to what the gentleman was saying now just makes me even more appalled and in a state of near disbelief. I mean, to think that he could present a lawsuit feeling like he was humiliated and whatnot. Jeez Louise, mister, you made the choice to stay there even longer after your buddy had the good sense to say, I'm getting out of here, this thing sucks. You stayed, and if you were already disappointed and humiliated, you made the choice to just pile more disappointment and humiliation upon yourself, you know? And if you...
I was trying to see if the show would get better. And thus keep me from having to sue him. And I don't think, you know, I didn't want to sue him. Can a gentleman hear me?
Can you hear us, Stephen?
Yeah, I mean, if this thing could ever even seize the inside of a courtroom, which I really doubt, you know, maybe the judge will have the common sense to award you a box of Kleenex or something and tell you to just bust up.
You're trying to mock me.
You know, I've done the shows before I've gone to shows before that were disappointing to me, and sometimes I left, and sometimes I thought maybe I'll give them a few more goes to see if it gets any better, but my goodness, right. Mr. Charlie Sheen is a human train wreck, and everything that he's portrayed in the media for the last few months, I wouldn't have gone there expecting anything more than, you know, I might go there with a bit of morbid curiosity to see if he would humiliate himself and make more of a spectacle of himself than he already had, but I sure wouldn't go there with any kind of thought that there might be any entertainment value in it at all, other than, as I said, like, you know, fulfill my morbid curiosity or something, because
and
I that man
that
is
needs
just...
to be pointed out. That's a good point, Stephen. And the other thing is that
Mr. Henry, I've heard your opinion, and...
Well, I just wanted to follow up what the gentleman was saying, because he's absolutely right, and when you... You know, your view of Charlie Sheen is not that he's a human train wreck. You think he's some kind of comic genius.
I think that, if let me tell you something. Charlie Sheen, his comedy level is way up there. And that man said it's a human train wreck. That's only because of peer pressure that you people think that way.
And peer pressure? Look, there were people walking out of that show. Here's a guy that didn't even go to the show and he knows the guy's a human train wreck. I didn't go to the show and I know the guy's a human train wreck. You go to the show expecting to see comedy genius, and people are walking out and you still think there's a genius inside of Charlie Sheen.
No, I'm saying, yes, I am, and that he purposely tanked that show because he, you know, doesn't like Detroit and the goddesses didn't do... No sex. I don't know what happened to him.
And all right, look, I'm going to let Stephen go. Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, a number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, as we talk here with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, about Charlie Sheen's show in Detroit. So Charlie Sheen purposefully tanked the show, huh?
Yes, sir, I believe he did, yes.
And why?
Because I feel that he heard about... I don't know why, sir. I don't know why.
Well, don't you think you want to get that stuff together before you file a lawsuit?
That's not part of my lawsuit. My lawsuit is he stunk it out, and not only did he stink it out, he should have, and it should have been better, based upon the level of what he promised was going to be. God, why don't, you know...
You know, you don't even sound like...
Well, hold on for a minute, please.
You don't sound like you know what you want to say.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But what's happened now is there's like, you talk about a train wreck, there's a whole train load of, I hate Charlie Sheen, I hate Charlie Sheen, I hate Charlie Sheen coming down the track. And you can't even forget about it. You can't even stop it so some cars can pass. So, you know, I just think it's unfair, that's all.
You know what, I'll tell you what's happened here, Mr. Bozell, if you don't mind me saying. A whole lot of logic has gotten into your engine works here, and it's gummed it up. You wanted to come in here talking about false advertising and a loss of reputation and a this and a that, and you find out that we're making a whole lot of sense here, that Charlie Sheen is crap, and that the show you should have expected to be crap, and your lawsuit is going to be frivolous because the judge is going to tell you that much. And a landmark case, you think Rosa Parks?
I think, again... I think that you are missing it. There was a case called Brown versus the Board of Education, and that was in Topeka, Kansas, okay? And
I know. That was. Are you trying to tell me that this is what you're doing? You're trying to tell me that this is what you're doing with the Charlie Sheen lawsuit?
I'm saying that to protect consumers, yes, sir, it's that pivotal. I'm not saying that it's exactly the right way. That's the way that it's going to have to be.
I think, man, the more you talk about suing Charlie Sheen and getting your money back... The less it makes sense to even you. There's only one, as far as I know, I only know of one instance in which they will refund money for tickets, and that's if there's been some unforeseen act of God, like a fire or whatever, or the guy gets sick, or something like that. I've never heard of them refunding tickets because an artist stinks. And you expect a first here. You expect to see your money back because the artist did not perform up to the level that you wanted him to perform at. Let me ask you a question. Would you be happy with a refund, or would you still sue?
If I did what?
Would you be happy with a refund, or would you still sue?
I would have to sue because it's gone beyond the refund. I would have been happy with a refund if it had been right then and there. But we've gone now two whole days And there has been two full days of, emotional cruelty worth.
And there's two whole days of what?
There's been two full days of cruelty that's been piled on.
What kind of cruelty has been piled on you?
You know exactly what I'm saying, Mr. Henry.
No, I don't. What kind of cruelty? Two full days of what cruelty?
Of the memory of having been, of the memory of seeing that show. And so it would have been okay the night of the show, but now the cruelty has built. It is not frivolous. It's what our laws, it's what our courts are here for. God darn it. It's what our courts are here for. It's what our courts are here for. It's what our courts are here for.
You keep saying that, man. Maybe you'll start believing it. Stephen Bozell with us on the Phil Henry Show as he talks about a lawsuit against Charlie Sheen and the promoters. He wants his money back. And he wants to, not only his money back, but now he wants $750,000 in a lawsuit for emotional cruelty, for false advertising, for loss of reputation. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
You know, next hour we're going to have Reverend David Castorini with us. And Reverend Castorini is a youth minister who has his own ideas on how to deal with the violence that attended the burning of that Quran by that Florida preacher. I don't know what this, Terry Jones, is that the guy's name? He burned a Quran, and then violence erupted in Afghanistan as the result. Now, I do not believe that even in a society, you know, I do not believe that in a society that that endorses free speech as we do, I don't think that that necessarily falls under the heading of yelling fire in a crowded theater, you know. They say that there's a certain kind of speech that is injurious to the general health and safety of people. If you walked into a theater and you yelled fire, do you have the freedom of speech to do that? And the answer, according to the courts, is no. So we're going to be talking with him next hour. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. This hour, we have Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. And Mr. Bozell, you know, I've calmed down a little bit. I hope you have too. I will simply tell you that I'm not saying you're not an intelligent man. I'm not saying any of those things.
Thank you.
I'm simply saying that bringing this into a courtroom, I mean, what would you call a frivolous lawsuit? Could you tell me that?
Mr. Henry, I'm not here to define for you what a frivolous lawsuit is. I'm here to tell you about my rights as they're articulated in the United States, you know, Constitution. And I got every right in the world to walk into a movie theater, to go into the theater that I went into in Detroit, the Fox Theater in Detroit, when Charlie Sheen's telling me all about how great he is, and he's got this Adonis DNA, whatever. And
you didn't literally think he's got Adonis DNA, do you?
No, sir, I did not. But I'm saying it's reasonable to expect he's going to be fantastic. And when you sit down in your seat and he stinks so hard and bad that your friend, Mr. Pettigrew, in this case, said to me that he wanted to get out while the getting was good. But I remember putting my face in my hands and just...
I mean, this was an emotional thing for you, too. That's the other thing that's very disturbing to me.
What's disturbing about that?
I don't know. It's just very disturbing to me that you're very emotional about it, that it's like you feel personally violated.
Yes, I feel betrayed, and that's why we're suing for $750,000. God.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here in Greensboro, North Carolina. It's Linda. Hello, Linda. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Honestly,
yes, ma'am.
I feel like I should sue him for emotional distress, because I feel so humiliated by the way he's behaving over this matter. This is not something that needs to be tying up our court system. He compares himself to Rosa Parks. I compare him to an ambulance chaser. To me, he's like the type of person that'll see a wet floor sign and walk on it, hoping he's going to fall. so that he can sue somebody. If you don't like something, you get up and you leave. And you know what? You learn your lesson and you don't buy another ticket from them. Regardless of what other people say, how well you're doing.
I'm glad you said what you said, because now I got you. Because, okay, tell me this. What's the difference then between what you just called me, all right, and a woman who walks down a street in a miniskirt and she gets you-know-what? See?
A woman who walks down the street in a miniskirt and gets what? Tell me, gets what? Gets whistled at? Gets catcalled?
I don't think there's any woman that walks down the street that gets a catcall that's going to throw a lawsuit. No, ma'am. I'm not saying that. I said a woman that walks down the street in a miniskirt and she gets fondled.
Fondled, huh?
Yes.
That's against the law. It's not against the law for Charlie Sheen to suck when he performs.
It's against the law.
There's a big difference.
No, wait a second. You were blaming me, the victim, for what Charlie Sheen did to me.
You're not a victim.
So I'm saying,
you made yourself a victim when you refused to
pick
your butt up off the seat and walk out of the theater. So why should the court pay you for victimizing yourself? Now, if a woman walks down the street and fondles herself, then she's not a victim either. But guess what? If somebody else does it, then yes, she'd be a victim.
I'm saying that Charlie Sheen fondled me, or not fondled, didn't fondle me, but emotionally he fondled me.
I enjoyed the show. But
well, isn't that funny? I mean, I know you're trying to mock me.
I think
Charlie Sheen fondled me. Hello. Can I finish what I'm saying?
Well, the lady is trying to talk.
Hello.
I think a lot of people will agree with you.
I don't think she can hear us.
Pick yourself up and leave the show.
Can Linda hear me?
Not
she cannot hear me. So we're back to this. I want to say, Mr. Bozell.
Forget it. She hogged up all the time.
Go ahead. Finish what you want to say.
Charlie Sheen fondled me emotionally is what I'm trying to say.
Charlie Sheen fondled you emotionally.
You wish Charlie Sheen fondled you emotionally. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to tell you, I really hope that you really don't take yourself seriously and you just want some airtime. Because if you honestly feel like you have a legitimate cause, I would personally like to recommend
a
doctor for you.
I mean, Mr. Bozell, you got to understand, you know.
No, what you don't understand and what the lady doesn't understand, consumers have rights. And when a consumer stands up for his rights, we are immediately laughed at and mocked like we're nothing more than a turd, you know, a cat turd or something. My rights as a consumer were violated by Charlie Sheen when he said that he had tiger blood and all that. Okay, of course it doesn't exist.
Okay, when he called himself a warlock on national news, did you honestly feel like he was a warlock? Look at the form. He was saying that he was a warlock of comedy.
He was a warlock of comedy.
What does that mean, a warlock of comedy?
I don't know what that warlock of comedy means. All right, thank you very much, Linda. 877-876-PHIL, God Almighty. I don't even know if that caller could hear us. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Mr. Stephen Bozell on the line with us as we're talking about this show that Charlie Sheen put on in Detroit. Now, the one in Chicago was a lot better, from what I understand. Here is Bill in Grand Rapids. Bill, you're on the Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. So what are you going to do now?
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue with the lawsuit the best way that I know how. And I'm going to, what do you mean, what am I going
to
do?
I mean, you're going to continue to prosecute this thing, huh? You're going to wait for a court date?
You know, yes, we are, and I'll tell you why. Because all these people who had talked about Charlie Sheen being a turd, talking about Charlie Sheen being something off, you know, just you wipe off of a diaper, Charlie Sheen being nothing more than a loaded diaper, saying that Charlie Sheen's mind was nothing more than, that's what I was going to say, that Charlie Sheen's head was like a diaper that's loaded. What
is all of this Charlie Sheen's head? Are you going to keep suing?
Yes, I am. And I'm going to sue the loaded diaper that is Charlie Sheen. And hopefully the judge will see, if your listeners have not seen, consumers have rights, too. So when you get out there and you say you got tiger blood, then, friend, you better show me some Frosted Flakes.
All right, Mr. Bozell, I thank you very much, sir.
No, you don't. You say that you do, but...
Get out of here. Stephen Bozell, if you say you got tiger blood, you better show me some Frosted Flakes.
Yeah, I'm telling Tony the Tiger.
Oh. Wow. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What the hell is with the phones tonight?
I don't know. You're doing the right side.
877-876-PHIL. So coming up next is David Castorini. He is with the youth ministry, Castorini Youth Ministry. And we will talk to him about the burning of the Quran. What is free speech? How can we find a way to mellow the mood and so forth? World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
I stand by that decision today. We had carefully evaluated.
You know, I wish we could find some way to hold people accountable.
Yeah, I know what I...
Well, why don't you take what you think is yours?
I bought sponges. I bought a spray paint.
10 minutes in this show and I'm leaving. It's horrible. It's not winning. It's
really beautiful feet.
Winning!
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And brother...
Winning!
Yeah, anyway, welcome to the program. This hour we have with us Reverend David Castorini here on Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Our Patriot line is 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-7445. As we continue our attempt to not only educate, but to enlighten. And not only enlighten, but to somehow do it lockstep, locked arm, and marching over stupidity onward to the enlightened state that we want our country to be in. And that is anything that says country first. Family is close. Country first. Because if you don't have that, you ain't got family. That's just how we feel on this show. And I would never disrespect that by saying...
Winning!
Because I don't need any drug addict or any, drug-addled slob to, reinforce that or endorse that. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. Now, Senator Lindsey Graham... Oh, by the way, our website is philhenryshow.com. We would like you to go over and get yourself a backstage pass because we are right now, as we speak, on... Phil TV, and behind me here on Phil TV, here in our HD, it's a gorgeous shot of the El Pacifico behind me, and the guys went out and got a beautiful shot of that on the beach today, Bud and Robert, and it looks like the seas were roiling. All right, Senator Lindsey Graham voices support for restrictions on free speech. Restrictions on free speech. Free speech is a great idea, said Senator Graham, but we're in a war. Do you agree with that? Do you agree that there should be some kind of limit to our free speech? In an interview on CBS News, Senator Lindsey Graham seemed to support some type of free speech restriction.
You know, I wish we could find some way to hold people accountable. Free speech is a great idea, but we're in a war. During World War II, you had limits on what you could say if it would inspire the enemy. So burning a Quran is a terrible thing, but it doesn't justify killing someone. Burning a Bible would be a terrible thing, but it wouldn't justify murder. But having said that, anytime we can push back here in America against actions like this that put our troops at risk, we ought to do it. So I look forward to working with Senator DeCherry and Reid and others to condemn this, condemn violence all over the world based in the name of religion. But General Petraeus understands better than anybody else in America what happens when something like this is done in our country.
And here is Reverend David Castorini, who plans a protest of his own, if we can call it that. David, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing good. We are ourselves in a war, as the senator just said there, but the war that we're in is a war with the devil. And That's a war, Phil. That's the toughest opponent you're going to have.
And when you say you're in a war with the devil, and where's the battlefield?
Battlefield is our own church, Castorini Youth Ministries, because we know that what we did on Sunday last, as a comment and as a way of reaching out and showing that the Word of God is more important than any printed page. And when we had 25 followers of the devil walk out of our church on Sunday, Phil, I knew I was doing something right. I knew I was doing something right.
You say that 25 followers of the devil walked out of your church.
That is correct.
And what precipitated this? What happened?
What happened was Karen Nunez and her husband Bob, who had worked tirelessly all weekend to build us a pyre. This was going to be a barbecue pit that we would use later on for a family event, part of our fiesta. And it initially would contain our offering to the Afghani Muslims. When we asked our congregation to bring in Bibles that were important to them, Bibles that might have been given to them by a loved one, Bibles that might have been given to them by a clergy, or just any Bible that had been with them and had meaning, I brought a Bible, Phil, that my grandmother had given me on her deathbed. And I still get emotional, Phil, when I think about it, but I've got great love for that woman. I brought that Bible with me. And when Karen and Dave lit that fire pit, and we took each one of those Bibles, and we threw them into that fire, and here's the reason why.
You burned these Bibles. How many Bibles did you burn?
We burned upwards of 35 Bibles, but I thought we had told you that, right?
No, I didn't know that you burned those Bibles. I know that you had a fire pit going of some kind of... I had no idea you were burning Bibles.
Well, let me hold on, because this story has a happy ending.
Did the people that brought their Bibles, this is what they knew they were going to do?
Hold on. This story has a happy ending, because the devil only got his clutches into 25 of our people. The rest of the people, and I addressed them that night. I said, your Bible has been burned in this fire as if the devil himself consumed it. But remember, by burning the Bible, we show the Afghan Muslims that we burn Bibles, we burn Korans, we don't care. Just calm down and let's not have a lot of nonsense. And so only 25...
Just calm down, let's not have a lot... David, I got to ask you some questions.
Well, just hold on, one more thing, Phil. After I made that statement, 25 people up and left the congregation. And one of them, and you knew that the devil was speaking through her, said to me, and I could see... It's very funny, Phil, when the devil does get a hold of someone. You can see it in their eyes. You can see the fire in their eyes. You can see the tongue lancing out of the mouth like a like it's a almost like a serpent. And you can see him saying to you, you know, you know, why did you do that to my Bible? I said, that's just a print. That's a printed page. That's got nothing to do with anything. She's all So. What we said,
well, I don't know who this is. Is this a woman that was talking to you?
Yes, it was one of our women. One of our women got the devil got a hold of. So when we burned those Bibles, and only 25 people walked out, I found that to be a victory, the likes of which we have not seen since Jesus himself walked from that tomb, rolled away that stone, and the victory of the resurrection was on. Oh, it was on, all right. So we feel very, very good, Phil.
All right, David, I want to ask you, you burned some, how many Bibles did you burn?
How many burbles? No, how many Bibles?
How many Bibles, yeah.
We burned 35, 40 Bibles.
And you had 25 people, all the people that walked out with their Bibles?
Some of them, and some of them walked out in sympathy.
Now, why did you burn these Bibles?
Because the Afghan Muslims were angry that a Christian preacher had burned a Koran. And I was concerned that the violence that they were engaged in was going to spread to over here among the Muslims or whoever. So I wanted to, what we call the big cool out.
At you call it the what?
The big cool out.
The big cool out is what?
The cool out is when just, I can't use the words on the radio, but you say, all you N-words, let's just cool out. And we throw Bibles into the fire.
So this was done in order to ameliorate or calm down Afghan Muslims so that their violence wouldn't spread here.
That is correct.
Well, that's about the, excuse me for saying this, Reverend, that's about the most gutless.
I beg your pardon?
That's about the most gutless thing I've ever heard in my life, that you burned, and again, I wouldn't go so far as to say that we need to limit what you did, but it was Lindsey Graham who said the free speech is getting out of hand. And
wait. The free speech is getting out of hand when you burn a Koran. The free speech is getting out of hand.
The free speech is not getting out of hand when you're shoveling Bibles into a fire pit? You don't think that that's getting out of hand?
That was done by myself and my congregation to show the Koran burner, Terry Jones, to show him up for the redneck he is. Now, I'm from the South, Phil. I come from Central Florida. I come from Kissimmee, Florida. It doesn't get any more redneck than that. But I understand that these N-words, and that's what I said, you got to cool them out.
And what is this N-word? I don't understand that.
No, I'm speaking the language, that's all.
What, of Afghan Muslims?
No, it's a hip-hop kind of, and you say, all you blanks, cool out.
Well, you may be doing a youth ministry here, but I'd like you to speak a little bit more of an understandable English here, Reverend.
All right.
You burned these Bibles to say what to Terry Jones and the Koran burners?
To say to them that you burned that Koran and you got all them so-and-so up in arms. We've got to now cool them out. You see what you've done? Okay, now I'm going to cool them out. And the way I'm going to cool them out is the only way I know how. And that's to burn a blank pot full of Bibles. And I use the word.
A blank pot full of Bibles. Okay, so this is going to cool out all those blanks.
Yes, sir. And I think Terry Jones, his free speech that he calls his constitutional right, and he believes that Islam is an evil religion, and he can think anything he wants. That redneck, and I can call him that because I'm a redneck. That redneck, all that redneck did was get a whole bunch of those blankety blanks. And
why can't you call them Muslims or Afghans? Why do you got to say blankety blank?
Because I'm using hip hop language, Phil.
And why? Because of the youth ministry?
Right. But we got to cool them out. So the big cool out was on Sunday.
And in your big cool out, you burned some 30 Bibles that people didn't know were going to be burned.
Hold on.
Well, you've been telling me to hold on here, David. Did these people know that their Bibles were going to be burned?
No, they did not.
Okay. And did you tell them to bring in Bibles that were important to them?
I most certainly did, and I want to say that the Bible I brought in was one that my grandmother had given to me on her deathbed. And boy, did I love that woman, Phil. I loved her so much, my grandmother. My grandma taught me the Bible, and I took the Bible that she gave me, that she learned me from. And I took it, and I threw it like I was Roger Clemens. And I just overhand threw it into that burning, flaming pit. Oh, man, it was like a hell pit. Because we had to exercise this.
Well, even with the burning of those Bibles, you lost 25 people or 30 people.
I've told Phil, the devil led them out. I didn't do anything. The devil led them out. And I'm glad. I say good riddance. Good riddance to bad rubbish. Thank you. Archie's here. He said, good riddance to bad rubbish.
All right. So, David, your feeling is burn those Bibles, and that is a way of offsetting the damage done by Terry Jones burning the Koran.
That is not only my feeling. That is, I believe, the actual... what I think we did was we were able to create we created the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leapt out of those flames.
877-876-PHIL here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with David Castorini. Senator Graham saying that he supports restrictions on free speech given the burning of that Koran. We have here Reverend David Castorini saying, no, what we'll do is, quote, cool it out by burning some Bibles. And he burned Bibles that were, people didn't know they were going to be burned. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here on, on the Phil Hendry Show. That's where we are. That's what it is.
Yeah, ain't no more than that.
There's no more than that, except our website, philhendryshow.com.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk with Reverend David Castorini here tonight about this burning of a series of Bibles, not just one Bible, like there was just one Koran burned, but 35 to 40 Bibles burned at his youth ministry on Sunday night. And these were Bibles that people didn't even know were going to be burned. Now, I want to say to you, Reverend, and our number is 877-876-PHIL here. The Patriot line is wide open. Why do we have to change the way we live because of some extremist someplace, whether he lives in Afghanistan or he lives in Florida? Why, as Americans, are we changing the way we live and burning Bibles? What kind of crazy, voodoo is that?
No, Phil, it's not voodoo. It is.
Well, you're burning all these Bibles, man, because you want to make up for something. You want to make up for the burnt Quran. You're afraid of some backlash by Muslims, and you even go so far as to say that the people that left your congregation on Sunday are being led by the devil. Please explain.
They're led by the devil because what we did on Sunday, we exorcised the demon from many of our preachers. You know. Terry Jones, I wouldn't know him if I tripped over him. I come from Central Florida, so I come from about as redneck a place as you can come from. And Terry Jones has a ministry. I have a ministry. He decided to burn a Koran. What he did was he made us look like even more of a bunch of rednecks than we already are. And I can't have that. I won't have it. And so that's why we said to people, on Sunday, we're going to release the Holy Spirit. Bring your Bible. Bring your most precious Bible with you.
Why couldn't you tell them, honestly, what you were going to do with their Bibles?
Because I wanted them to come in a spirit of innocence. I wanted the innocence to live in the prayers that we were saying, in the gospel that we were reading, and finally, in the fire that I took their Bible and threw into. Because what I did is, as they were reading from it, I would grab it and throw it in the fire. And I grab it and throw it in the fire. And the looks on their faces told a lot, Phil.
And so if somebody's standing there with a Bible that you asked them to bring that meant a lot to them, and you grabbed it and threw it in the fire, what are you looking for?
I'm looking for that expression on their face, I understand. I understand. We've got to burn a lot of Bibles here to cool that you-know-what out, Terry Jones, and what he done. Because we've got to burn a lot of Bibles to make right.
And what that coon ass did.
That's right. He's a Floridian. I'm a Floridian. That's what we call him. That's what we call him. I love God so much that if I got to take 100 Bibles and torch them using very expensive gasoline, that's what I got to do.
877-876-PHIL is the number here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-7445. This is Pastor David Castorini. Wow, is all I can say to some of the stuff you've been saying here, Pastor. Let's go to a phone call, and we have Sonia in Tampa. Go ahead, Sonia. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David Castorini.
Hello, Phil. First of all, I want to say supporting the support of limited free speech by Senator Graham. I want to know, is that going to start in their arena when they're speaking and addressing the president, where they're not being disrespectful and yelling out things and not giving the leader of our country the due respect? But to me, rewriting the limiting this free speech is just, to me, a underhanded tactic to rewrite the Constitution by justifying it with these off-the-wall, disrespectful acts that these little small people, small-minded people do, and no, we don't like it. No, it's, to me, it's disgusting and just outright disrespectful. However, that is their right, and we all are allowed that right because of our Constitution, and that allows people to express themselves whether we like it or not. That gives them a right to express themselves, just like they say everybody has an opinion.
That preacher did a lot of damage, though, Sonia.
Well, wait a minute. Let me just.
It took me 50 Bibles to make up for that.
Hold up. And I'm fixing to get to you, sir. And you know what?
Yes, ma'am.
The other thing about you saying that you all created the Holy Spirit, only type of spirit I think you created was a spirit of lunacy and disrespect as well. You decided to take that on and burn Bibles. Call it out, cool it off. What you said, you're using hip hop language. I don't know about that because I don't speak that.
Hold on, Sonia. Hold on for a second, Sonia. We'll be right back with you. We'll be right back with Sonia here in a moment of the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
I said cool out. I didn't say cool it out.
Phil Hendry. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with David Castorini, the youth ministry reverend, and we're talking about the burning of some 50 Bibles at his church on Sunday as a way of, quote, cooling out the Afghan Muslims who got so upset with the burning of a Quran. 8 United Nations workers were murdered. Now, that's a horrible thing, and we're going to get into talking about that, but I wanted to get back to Sonia because we wanted to give her due time on the air. Sonia, go ahead.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to say, sir, that I don't believe that you, by burning the Bibles, that was cooling it out. To me, what that was doing is just following a bad example, following a bad thing with another bad thing. But, you know, I don't think that was a very smart thing to do. Cooling it out, what was
cool
that?
Out. That's what we called a big cool out. See, what that was to do this. When you have, and I say this with great love in my heart, Sonia, please understand, but when you've got a pack of animals ready to storm a United Nations office, and you got, what do you do? You throw meat? You turn on a fire hose? I don't know what.
Throw the meat?
Well, they were about to, you know, these people, they killed 7 people. Now, the best thing I can do is take those Bibles and throw them into a fire.
And the people that got upset with you for doing that, who walked out of your congregation, you said they were let out by the devil.
Yes, they were, Phil.
How do you figure that, man?
To me, what that was doing was protesting what you did. To me, I would have been insulted and appalled that you did that, because all you're doing is adding one bad act with another bad act, and you're insulting other people that love the Bible as well. To me, that is not cooling it out. To me, that is escalating a problem and disrespecting it. And to me, that is not...
If you've got a guy walking down the street wearing an ice cream man hat, and if you've ever seen Muslims, they wear... A lot of them wear that, what I call an ice cream man hat. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, and see, you're disrespecting their religion. And see, this is the other thing. What you're doing is doing the same thing, but by just with your words. You're insulting a nationality, a race, because of that, what they choose to wear.
No,
you are insulting their, what, the clothing that they wear.
What do you mean an ice cream man hat?
Animals?
Well, they killed 8. My goodness, they killed 8 people. What do you call someone like that?
to me.
Well, but we're going beyond that. We're going beyond that. You're talking about Muslims, period. You want to, quote, cool them out so that they don't commit more violence by burning these Bibles. You're not just talking about the people that committed that heinous, vicious, and you're right, brutal act. You're talking about all Muslims.
I'd rather be, you know something, Jesus said something that I think we all should remember. I'd rather be safe than sorry.
What scripture was that? My point to you, sir, is that and the Lord was a peaceful person. He did not
go in and try to escalate things.
It's about respecting our problem right now. We don't respect others for their opinion. I respect your opinion. I don't have to like it, but I respect you. But we don't respect.
Do do?
And it's
what
about
do
treating
do
people the way you want to be
yes,
treated.
Ma'am.
And to
yes,
me,
ma'am.
That was
yes,
a terrible ma'am. Example. And for you to be a youth minister, I don't think that
yeah.
was a wise.
Burning
that was
Bibles.
A bad example.
I just asked a good question. All I did was I asked you, what do you do when you see a guy in an ice cream man hat? And you are.
What do you mean, a guy in an ice cream man hat? You know something? That's first of all, that's an Indian way of dressing in the subcontinent of India. Mostly those are Hindus. Mostly they're politicians or learned men. That ice cream man hat, you might mean like Nehru.
Yes, sir.
That doesn't necessarily mean Muslim. That's more of an Indian thing. Anyway, thank you very much, Sonia.
Thank you, Phil.
I appreciate you. Thank you very much. I appreciate your phone call. 877-876-PHIL. As we continue talking here with David Castorini, the youth minister for Castorini Youth Ministries, and we're talking about the burning of 50 Bibles Sunday to make up for the burning of the Koran. Here is Carson in San Francisco. Go ahead, please.
Yes. His comment about the ice cream hat, first of all, it's just ignorance. Right, there's proven his own ignorance. And second of all, it's almost sacrilegious to take somebody's Bible, them not know what you're going to do with it, and just burn it. My father was a pastor for 30 years at a non-denominational Christian church.
Yes, sir.
And if he were to give me... If you burned a Bible that he gave me, I would be livid. But that means that I have the devil in me?
I released that Bible for a reason, sir. I released it so that these... What do you want me to call? So these... And I'm saying...
What?
What did you just call those people?
I meant it in the sense those were Muslims that were they were going wild all over that UN station house. You know it and I know it. What I was trying to do was cool it out.
Cool
you know what
out?
I mean by that? I apologize, Mr. Henry.
You know, you said to me, you come from Central Florida, you're a redneck. Okay, you're a redneck. I mean, don't advertise it. You talk about Terry Jones.
I apologize. I'm sure Terry Jones has used that word before. But those people that went crazy with the after the Koran got burned by that idiot Jones, and I'm calling him right now. He's an idiot. But we got to cool that out. That's why we burn those Bibles.
You don't have enough faith in the God that you say that you love.
Yes.
To make sure that. You know, he's bigger than this whole situation.
Of course,
you say you are. Have faith.
I have to.
God will take care
I've
of you. You don't
take,
have to burn people's Bibles. It's sacrilegious.
God wants us. God wants the hand of man to be guided by God's hand, but He still wants the hand of man to make things happen. So. I would not take a Bible. Look, I took the Bible that my grandmother gave me on her deathbed. On her deathbed. And she even asked me to swear that I would never, ever lose it.
And
so I broke my vow.
Turning over in her grave right now.
Well, sir, that's my grandmother you're talking about.
No, wait. I want to hear this. Your grandmother asked you never to lose that.
That's correct.
So you burn it.
That's the love that I have for...
That's not
what's
love,
your point?
Man.
What is your point?
That's disrespect.
No. I love my fellow man so much that I had to set fire to that.
To the Bible?
You guys just don't understand.
God's word. The God that you say that you serve.
Exactly.
That's
I
his
do.
Word.
I serve him. Yes, sir.
Burn it.
And I burn it, and I gladly give the smoke up to the devil himself to cool those monkeys.
Quit using the word monkey.
Yeah.
To cool out.
You know, don't even say cool out. What I want you to tell me is this. Are you burning those Bibles because you're afraid there's going to be another Muslim riot?
In a word, yes.
All right, then why don't you say that, man? What is with all of this jazz about, well, I'm giving it to God, and...
This is the gift that I'm giving God. This is my gift of peace.
Gift of peace. 30 people walked out because you say they're following the devil. Bibles that people had cherished their whole lives burned. People that are Muslims who come from Afghanistan are called monkeys. And so on and so forth. This is the peace, huh?
Look, if Jesus said, what Jesus told us, whatever's right is right. And whatever's going to...
Yeah, what part of the Bible?
Did he say,
chill it out?
No, he didn't say that. No, he didn't say it literally. I'm saying that Jesus, in so many words, told us to cool out.
Okay, where?
When he said, turn the other cheek, wouldn't you call that a cool out? I would.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much, Carson, for your call this evening. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Speaking here with David Castorina, the youth ministries, and at his church on Sunday, they burned 50 Bibles. But what I'm getting from you, David, and I don't want to argue with you. I don't want you to use. I don't know why you use that word, monkey.
You think, Phil, because I'm a redneck and a coon ass from Florida, that everything I say has race? No. I know I'm just as dumb. I'm dumber. Phil, I'm a simple man from Kissimmee, Florida. I'm dumber than any man you've ever met. I don't mind calling myself that. I'm stupid. So all I know is what I know and what the Lord taught me. And the Lord told me that if we can have peace on this planet, and
No, man. Your whole accommodation is un-American. Let me tell you what I think about this. Religion is fine as far as it goes. When we use religion to accommodate, when we use religion to appease, when we use religion to surrender, when we use religion to debase or to otherwise condemn the very things that we love and hold sacred, like our Bibles, okay, especially one that your grandmother gave you and made you swear you'd never give up, when you debase all of that, I can't even imagine how you continue to call yourself a man of Christ or a man of integrity at all.
Phil, that's why you don't understand. I'm a man of humility.
I know you're a man of humility. You just called yourself stupid about 5 times. And with all due respect, David.
No, there's no respect coming from you. I know you don't respect me. That's okay. I still love you.
David, what I'm hearing from you, yes, sounds like stupidity. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to... Walt in San Antonio. Go ahead, Walt. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with David Castorini.
Hey, good day, sir.
Yes, sir.
I'm a truck driver, and I'm from Southern Indiana. And this guy on the radio, David, whatever his name is, so-called redneck from Timmy, I mean, he's just, to me, sounds like somebody
Castorina.
Wanted attention. Burning the Bible is wrong. This country was based on the good Christian moral values. There's a reason why on our money it says in God we trust. Now, what I would like him to do, since he's so believing, stopping the last mile, buy a plane ticket to Afghanistan, hop off the plane, and quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, and see how long he lasts standing there. I mean, this country has gone from what is wrong.
That doesn't make no sense. That doesn't make any sense, sir, because if I was to quote the Holy Word of God, and if I was to stand there in front of all those,
Say monkey?
No, I do not want to say monkey.
Yeah. Well, then all of those people.
All those people. And I quoted God's word. You're telling me that what? I'm going to die?
Yes, because in the Muslim, if the Quran that was burnt, if you know anything about it, one thing in there is instructs them that anybody that doesn't believe their way is an infidel and should die. So, what do you think they do to you? They shake your head and say, oh, we're so glad you burned the Bible. Right there, you just disrespected your grandma. She's rolling over in her grave.
No, sir.
She gave you a Bible that you say you so-called love. You apparently didn't. You apparently are doing this for our own self-motivation, whatever the word is.
Self-aggrandizement.
I have never heard of anything or anybody so ridiculous in my life.
Sir, Jesus would have burned a Bible with me. Jesus would have been dancing around the flames with me.
Dancing around the flames?
Yes.
You know what?
Dance.
It's people like you that are making this country wrong, giving our children the wrong ideal on what is right and what's wrong. And I feel sorry for those kids because it's not their fault. It's your fault.
What kids is he talking about?
You're a youth minister.
I pray that one day you realize how wrong you are. Because that is a shame. Maybe
I burned those Bibles.
But you're definitely not a redneck. Number one, rednecks wouldn't do that. Okay?
No, you're right about that, but I'm a new kind of redneck because I'm not going to have Terry Jones giving all rednecks a bad name. I'm going to have
you. You're the one who's giving rednecks a bad name. I swear to God, if you go back to where you're from, if there's actually a redneck there, you wouldn't last long there either. They would be embarrassed to call you a redneck.
You telling me?
I think it's funny, and what's really sad is you believe yourself.
Sir, I happen to come from Kissimmee, Florida. And it's thick with rednecks. You're up to your rear end in rednecks. And I can tell you now.
Yeah, you're just a coon ass.
You are definitely not a redneck. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's something that makes you feel empowered over the children to say, "Hey, I'm a redneck," because you are not, and that's no difference. The difference is.
Wait a minute. What do you call a redneck?
What is important here?
We're not talking about rednecks.
You have forgot where you're from. This is United States. If you're a Christian, how in the heck could you burn a Bible?
Because that's going
to
cool it.
I just want to say, because I want to.
I listen to George Strait.
Appease the Muslims.
I listen to Travis, what's his name?
You know, it's people like you that's making this country bad. What to be, politically correct.
I listen to all that stuff. And, son, let me ask you a question, okay? You know the song Amarillo by Morning? It goes like this, Amarillo by Morning, up from San Antonio.
I don't, hold on for a minute. You're not singing.
I wanted to sing the song to show that I'm a redneck.
Anyway, thank you very much, Walt.
Wait, can I sing it?
Thank you.
If the gentleman is there, can I sing this? Oh.
Thank you very much, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Now, what did you want to do?
Well, if I can't sing the song to the... I was going to sing Amarillo by Morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I've got is just what I got on. I'll be looking for eight when they pull that gate. And I hope those judges ain't blind. Amarillo by morning. Amarillo's on my mind. Okay. Now that...
Will you put this jackball on hold here for a minute? Amarillo by morning. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. If you're watching us online, you're looking at Phil TV in HD. Behind me, the roiling surf of the El Pacifico. We're checking out CNN for any unusual news. There's been a lot of it. Unusual looking, but nothing fast and furious. And we'll be back with our final segment with David Castorini here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show in a moment.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
When we join together as citizens and we join together as good conservatives, great things can happen. When we run astray or run aground, if you will, on the shoals of stupidity and liberal think, we're in big trouble. And with me here is David Castorini. He is the youth minister at Castorina Youth Ministries. And, David, I feel you have run aground on some form of liberal thinking where what you want to do is take the Bible, which is the holy book of a Christian culture, the Christian people, and also Jewish people, the Old Testament.
I don't know if you know your Bible. I don't know if you know the Bible, but Jesus told us where there's a will, there's a way.
And I don't remember that. I where there's a will, there's a way is not in the Bible.
But Jesus was speaking on that. And we have to find a way to live with our brothers and sisters. if that means that I've got to burn every Bible between here and the Congo, I'm going to do it. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a racist because I said between here and the Congo. I could, because I don't know what it is I'm allowed to say.
Don't die. I would rather that you not say anything stupidly and offensively and obviously racist, if you don't mind. Kate in Santa Monica, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with David Castrini. Go ahead, please.
Okay. My only two comments is, if you are, David, a youth minister, what lesson is that teaching the youth? What lesson is that? And two, wouldn't it be, I think you have it backwards, because somebody that would burn the Bible would be the devil. Yes?
Well, that is a very interesting way of looking at it. I think that most people would say, yes, that's true. But let me give you this point of view, Kate. I believe burning the Bible, if we know the Word of God, for instance, Kate, what if I had the Bible memorized? Would it matter if I burned the Bible? Probably not. And I think it encourages us to know the Spirit and to know the Word and to say to these Muslims, we know our religion so good, we don't have to have that book. So y'all just go ahead and move your lips as you read it. You know, have a little bit of fun with them.
You know, that book...
Because we know our Bible.
Okay.
Move your lips as you read what, the Koran?
Yeah, that's what they're doing. We're Christians. We're educated. They're Muslims. They're moving their lips and running their finger on a page.
Wow. And you want to cool them out. That's what I thought I heard you say. And now you're going to insult them.
I'm not saying that to them.
Am I still on?
Yes, you are, ma'am. Go ahead.
What kind of, in the upset world that we are in today, everywhere, to burn the Bible is not a cool thing. How's that one? To cool something out and then to cool... I mean, who knows what you will start by burning the Bible with the Christians for myself. I mean, I'm sitting here making coffee, and I'm both of the Jewish descent and the Christian descent, and it prompted me, this discussion, to go pick up the telephone, because to burn a Bible, that's not cool. That is just not
confused.
Cool.
You're Jewish and you're Christian? That's
well, yeah, half that's, of my husband is Jewish. And so I study out of good faith, I study all religions, and to burn any kind of Bible...
Phil,
well, I don't know. You're one half. Your husband is one half.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I wish we could find some way to hold people accountable.
Now, unfortunately, since I made that decision, members of Congress have...
10 minutes in this show and I'm leaving. It's horrible.
Now, I understand that you're thinking of taking another
job. You're fired.
Hey, Katie, you're fired. World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show...
You're fired.
...that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch... Where we go places other talk shows wish they could and they can't. And, of course, the Patriot line open at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. That's driving me nuts, bud.
Wait.
Just the all of a sudden, screen here on our video cast is just driving me ape, man. It's just getting all kinds of interference here. I don't like it. Guess we're going to have to do something about that when we get off the air. Is that it?
Yeah, well, just do about 2% more. No, yeah, no, no, yeah, no, yeah, no.
Will you get out of here? Anyway, welcome to our show, and we thank our guests this evening, David Castrini from the Youth Ministry, as well as our first guest of the show. I forget even who that was. It was Stephen Bozell who was suing Charlie Sheen for stinking it out there in Detroit. Good luck, Steve. I don't know why I was arguing as much as I was with the man, because, quite frankly, I ought to wish him well,
Well, man, that nobody's going to sue Charlie Sheen, though.
Yeah, I don't, whatever. I mean, it would be very funny after all of that guy's antics, after all of what Charlie Sheen has been talking about, how fantastic he is, Adonis DNA, all this, and he gets sued for stinking a joint out, and the people win. That, you have to admit, it would be funny. World famous Phil Henry Show here, and of course online at philhenryshow.com, live streaming video of our show as you listen, you can watch. We are online at philhenryshow.com with high definition Phil TV. And we also, of course, have our daily podcasts. That's right. Sign up through iTunes and get this show delivered to you tomorrow. Also, our classic Phil podcasts, also our news feed, also the largest archive of any single radio show in the history of mortal man on this planet. It's all there for you. Now, Bud, you got me the serial murderer story, right?
Yes, Mr. Henry. I know you enjoy them very much.
I don't enjoy them very much. It's just that I look at this phenomenon called the serial murderer. And if anybody, if any country in the world, if any group of people in the world can defeat this aberrant individual, the serial murderer, the brutally aberrant human being, the anti-human, it's the American people with our minds for criminology, psychology, and of course our great law enforcement. In other words, maybe. So this is in Gilgo Beach, New York. Now, where is Gilgo Beach, New York? We ought to get a map or something to show people, but three additional sets of human remains have been discovered on the same New York beach where a serial killer is believed to have dumped the bodies of five other women. Suffolk County Police announced the discovery of the bodies today, raising the number of victims to at least eight. So there is a serial murderer afoot in the New York metropolitan area, and now they think that this individual has killed at least eight women. Searchers used fire truck bucket ladders for an aerial view as others walked Oak Beach and Gilgo Beach in Long Island. They've waded through tall, thick, and tick-infested vegetation.
But ticks will get on you.
Yeah, ticks, and they've got these cadaver dogs. And the cadaver dogs are sniffing for human remains. On top of that, according to the dog handlers with the Suffolk County Sheriff's Department, the dogs are trying to sniff for human remains, but at the same time, they've got these bramble bushes that are smacking them in the snout. So everybody is uncomfortable as they're going through this very tough area in terms of these thickets of vegetation and swamp, and it's wet, and it's all kinds of stuff, and then ticks.
But don't worry, you used to get a tick off a dog.
The what?
Tell people the way you used to get a tick off a dog.
Tell people the way...
The way you got a tick off dogs.
Oh, the way I used to get ticks off a dog. Well, I mean, you take a cigarette, you know?
Yeah.
But people are going to think that what you did is... Well, it's kind of grotesque, man, you know?
No, but it's kind of interesting.
Well, you take a cigarette. You want to get a tick out of a dog, you just take the cigarette and burn that tick's ass with it, and it'll... It's too sick. I don't want to talk about it. Anyway, police first discovered four skeletal remains in December when searching for missing prostitute Shannon Gilbert. None of the remains have matched Gilbert's. A fifth body was discovered last week, but that was determined to not be the body of Gilbert. Do you understand that these police officers have discovered at least eight bodies when they were looking for just one? And because they found them in the same area, they believe, the people in the know who know these kinds of animals, they believe that obviously... This is a serial killer, an individual serial killer, and this is where he drops his kill. And in many ways, when you're dealing with these guys, you're dealing with a kind of an animal. They have an instinctive approach to their work, if you call it that. But that's what they call it. They call it work. This is what they were born to do. In the minds of some of these guys. The victims who were previously identified were all prostitutes. I don't know, you know, far be it from me to judge what people do to make ends meet. Far be it from me to judge what an individual does when they're in the most desperate of circumstances, the most desperate of times, what they would do to make ends meet, you know?
Yeah, like what you do.
But what do you mean, what I do? Get out of here.
I'm going to make a talk show.
Well, at least I ain't walking the street. Well, I couldn't walk the street, could I?
Well,
not, no, no, uh-uh. But, you know, take a look at this. I mean, prostitutes, this is about as dangerous a pursuit, a line of a profession, whatever you want to call it, that you could think of. I don't know what these girls think when they, I recognize that you get into a level of comfort when you figure, well, I sort of know the ropes, and I kind of know how this is going to work, and I've seen this kind of guy before, and I've worked the street before, and I know the kind of men that come here, and I don't think you're ever prepared. Because look at the women that are murdered by these serial murderers. These animals, they prey on the easiest, the women that are not going to be missed, the ones that they could take and throw off a cliff, and nobody's going to miss them for years, possibly. And these are prostitutes. It was Gary Ridgway's M.O. It was, the Jack the Ripper, you name it. I mean, look at, Jack the Ripper went after prostitutes. He was down there in the slummiest, scummiest part of London, and he was hitting all prostitutes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. If you want to kill someone who has no history, has no future, has no nothing, that's why they go after these poor girls. Commissioner Richard Dormer told ABC News in December, four bodies found at the same location. That pretty much speaks for itself. It's more than a coincidence. We could have a serial killer. Investigators have made little progress in the hunt for the serial killer, according to sources familiar with the investigation. One of the problems is because these bodies that were found, probably there's no DNA or anything like that.
Yeah, but you were saying that it's pretty hard to be a serial killer now.
Well, I mean, my thinking is if it's the first time, if you catch a guy when he's killed for the first time, you can catch him. But this guy obviously has got a head start on the cops. There's no question about it. And one of the reasons he has a so-called head start on the cops is because where he was dumping these bodies is very, very difficult to get to. It was tough for these cadaver dogs. It was tough for the search dogs. It was tough for the cops. It's very, very tough terrain. Detectives have conducted interviews with associates, neighbors, friends, and relatives. This is all on Long Island, guys, by the way. It's a place called Gilgo Beach. We'll look it up and see if we haven't got a map or something we can put up on the videocast. According to detectives, they conducted interviews with associates, neighbors, friends, and relatives. In January, police identified one of the skeletons found on the secluded stretch of beach as belonging to Megan Waterman, a young woman who was last seen at a nearby Holiday Inn with her boyfriend in June. Now, this was in where? It was in January?
Yeah.
Boy, that's a long time, man, to be missing. Did I ever tell you that story? I wish I could find the name of this case.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about.
It's nuts. The coincidence is nuts. I don't know if I told you guys the story of this, but when this story here jarred my memory. As a young woman who went missing in the late 70s, this is insane. She goes missing, and I'm telling you, it's like a two-decade search. Now, the detective that was resurrecting the cold case on this, and he might have been the original detective, I don't know. He was on this case looking for this girl and in association with other police officers and other agencies, but he was the lead detective in the local area that they were looking for her. Couldn't find her. They were clearing some swampland and some trees about 20 years after this girl goes missing. And one of the tractor drivers, the bulldozer driver, sees something. That's all he sees. And sure enough, it's human remains.
It's a girl?
It's this girl that they were looking for 20 years. And they found her 50 yards away from where this detective lived.
Did he do it?
No, he didn't do it. The thing of it is she was dumped in an area where a cop lived. And it happened to be the cop that was the lead cop on this case.
How do you know he didn't do it, though?
Yeah.
There's no motive. The guy, he probably had an ironclad alibi. Look, man. You know, the fact is, guys, just because they found this woman 50 yards away, well, you know, it's a good question.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, how do you know he didn't do it?
Because he didn't do it, all right? He didn't do it. But I just find the coincidence of her being, maybe 20 years ago, he wasn't even a cop. Maybe he was a
serial killer.
Maybe he was a serial killer. I don't know. All right, let's take a break because I got to get out of this story. I'm sorry I brought that up now. World famous Phil Henry Show here, Patriot Radio for Patriots by Patriots, 877-876-PHIL. Online at philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, oh, here we got it. We got Gilgo Beach. If you guys, here's on our map, on our Google map. It's a really, that's a, if you're looking on our webcast, you can see it's a very, very isolated stretch of beach there on Long Island. And bordering it on one side is the John F. Kennedy Wildlife Sanctuary. And on another side is a thing called Oak Island and Cedar Bay Beach. Just, and the Ocean Parkway, which eventually heads all the way out to the bitter end of the island. But it does look like a really, really isolated area. And I guess you'd have to, it looks like it's only accessible by, well, no, that's a road there, isn't it? So forget it.
You're saying by boat?
I was going to say, yeah, it looks like it's only accessible by boat, but what am I saying? That's a freaking road.
Yeah, man, that would be a road.
All right, it's a road. I'm sorry, And I got Jason working, I don't know. If anybody knows, we would appreciate a call here. If anybody knows this case that I'm talking about, where a detective, and usually we like to come up with these answers ourselves because that's not your job. You know, you guys listen to the show. But I'm telling you, I wish to God I would have written it down. It was a detective who was on this case of a missing girl, and when they finally found the remains many years later, the remains were found not far from this cop's home, where this guy actually lived. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show. The other story that we wanted to get into here, not because it's about a serial killer, but it is about a guy that could be a serial killer, and that, of course, is the great rock star Meatloaf. Now, anyway...
Really?
No, not really, but this guy, Meatloaf, I'm telling you, it's more like Meathead. Meatloaf, who went into an epic rant on Celebrity Apprentice. This guy looks like he might be suffering from roid rage or something, man.
Well, let me see that.
Here's a picture of him here, and he is pointing to his, he's screaming, in this picture, you see, is Meatloaf screaming at Gary Busey, who is the actor. Meatloaf is the rock star. Both of them making similar impacts in their chosen professions. And I say that with great respect. Gary Busey's a great actor. I've always loved him. Always loved Gary Busey and the things that he did. In fact, my favorite thing that he did, he's such a weird ass, was that Under Siege. Did you see that?
Oh, that was bitching. You know, the one with Steven Seagal.
Exactly. Steven Seagal, Tommy Lee Jones, Gary Busey. I forget who the hell else was in that movie. That was a hell of a movie. It was just a great action movie. A lot of parts. And then Meatloaf, well, you know, either you like Meatloaf or you don't like Meatloaf.
I like short ribs.
Anyway, Meatloaf spectacularly lost his cool last night during the latest episode of The Celebrity Apprentice. Chaos broke out when the Loaf, real name Michael Lee Loaf, no, I'm kidding, Michael Lee A-Day.
What's his name, Loaf?
No, A-Day, not Loaf, I was joking. Was convinced, I'm sure, Michael Lee Loaf was convinced a member of his team had stolen his art supplies. The singer's temper reached boiling point when he accused Point Break star actor Gary Busey. Was he in that movie? Yeah, he was. He was in that movie, that's right. But stealing his paints and sponges during a task which involved raising as much money as they possibly could by creating their own artwork and selling it in a gallery. The raging singer squared up to Gary and could not be calmed down despite every effort from teammates. Gary later summed up Meat's crazed outburst by saying, Meatloaf excelled to the level of dancing on the rainbow with no fear. These guys are just mental cases, man. Well, we have Meatloaf's temper tirade if you want to hear it.
Yeah.
Here is, in an epic rant on last night's Celebrity Apprentice, Meatloaf went ape on Gary Busey, whom he thought had stolen his painting supplies.
Okay!
What's wrong?
Mother!
What's wrong?
I bought those mother sponges! Part of that paint is mine! I'm sick and tired of you, mother!
No, no, hey. No.
That was all mine in my basket. No.
Bull mother!
No, I've been
asleep. Hold on, guys.
You don't want to make you... Get out! You don't want to... Start with me!
Meat, don't do it. Don't do it.
Meat. You do not want to with me! You look in my eyes, I am the last person in the world you ever want to with!
Whoa, dude.
You understand me?
Boy, what a headache.
You mother, you look at me all the time. You'll be in the hospital in about 4 minutes.
Me, hold on, look.
Take him out of here. Take him out of here.
Come on, Gary.
Take him out of here.
This is mine.
Come on, Gary.
It is not yours, you piece of.
Don't engage it. Don't engage.
Calm down.
Don't engage.
Don't engage.
Just get your stuff, and you're fine. You're good, brother. You're good. What's yours, Meat? What's yours? It's all right, Meat. It's all right, dude.
So it turns out Busey didn't steal Meatloaf's bag of art supplies. John Rich found it in the corner of the room.
Yeah, I know when I...
Well, why don't you take what you think is yours?
I bought sponges, I bought a spray paint, I have my...
We can also go right back down there and grab some more stuff.
But you just don't assume, and you ask.
Meat. Look, is this your bag? I might have just found your bag.
Let's just saddle.
It was under a corner.
You pushed me too far!
Does this look like it?
How do you feel now, Meat?
Thank you.
It was under a corner.
Take your spray paint.
Thank you very much.
Shut the up!
No, I can't.
Do your hard work and get out of my face!
I'm not in your face.
You ought to apologize to him there, Meat. Can you believe that?
That guy, man, he would have hurt him, man.
Yeah, he would have hurt him. He was like, right, he was ready to go. He was ready to go. You don't say that to anybody if you're not. But here's the thing. That stupid, dumb, thick, redneck, dumbass. I'm saying that because he's not here.
Yeah, you wouldn't say that to Loaf if he was here.
Wouldn't say that to Loaf.
Well, I mean Meatloaf.
Well, I can say it because I'm a broadcast professional and my job is commentary. That guy has roid rage, man.
You think he's doing roids?
I don't know, man. I mean, any dude that is that unrestrained, I mean, I get pissed. There's no question. People who've watched the webcast know this. They know, they've seen me pissed off, right? But that cat was saying things like, look in my eyes, you know. He was calling Busey out, and he was ready to go. And it was going to be physical, and there was no question. If Busey had said, yeah, let's go, then it was going, you know, there was going to be blood. And the dude's on TV, and the cat is, yeah. And here's that picture again of him. There it is.
Yeah, if that's not roid rage, Dad, then my name isn't Dickman.
Dickman.
I'm sorry, but I'm trying to see the picture.
Well, how's that making your talking screwed up? So, yeah, he was definitely rock and roll, wasn't he?
Man, you know, the cat like that, man, got to back down.
Well, Busey was in the right there, and I have to say, even at the end there, where it sounded like he said, I'm not in your face, and I'm not, you know, I think he had a right to express himself. And Loaf would have probably killed him. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ah! Loaf was going to kill him, man.
Phil Hendry. Loaf. For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, you know, I don't know, maybe this, I run the risk of not sounding as if I've got my hip currency, you know, up to date here, but what an illiterate society we live in these days. What a society of mumbling and stuttering and profane imbeciles we have become. And then I'll get into what this story is really about.
No, you don't like the baby mama.
What is this baby mama and baby daddy and I got and my hump and my bad and my good? Let's start speaking the English language before it's too late. What is this, Orwellian future speak? You know, folks, this is something to keep in mind. George Orwell, in the book 1984, rendered, I think, a pretty decent lesson. And this is what he said. He said, if you want to control the way people think, control their language, control the words they say. For instance, in the book 1984, in this futuristic society, in this police state that Orwell was warning us against, in a state that was in the future where there were no more individuals, we were only one unit working together for the good of the state. There was no individuality, and there was no love. As a matter of fact, there wasn't any word anymore called love. It was now called unhate. So there was either hate or there was unhate. Now, what did that do? It made the frame of reference hate and anything off of that. So there is either hate, or if you felt warmth for someone or something that used to be called in the way back days love, now you were feeling unhate. And so it went in this Orwellian language that he talked about and that was in the future society that Winston Smith, the hero of the book, lived in, double plus good. There weren't words anymore like fantastic or orgasmic or ornate, copious, magnificent. The words that we use to describe a sunset, the words that we would use to describe the birth of a child, you know, there was none of that. All of those words have been outlawed. All of those magnificent words having to do with colors and feelings and emotions, the only thing they had now was either good, or if something was really good, it was double good, or if it was really, really good, double plus good. So what he was telling us was that when you limit words, you limit thought, because if you think about it, you think in terms of language. You may be thinking that you love a girl, but you're still thinking the word love. You may be thinking that it's a beautiful day, but you're still thinking the word beautiful. But if the only word you have is hate or unhate, or good or double plus good, you have limited now your ability to think of things in more colorful and vast and magnified ways. Now it's just either this, double plus good, or good, or double good, and that's it. And so when we limit language, like we find ourselves doing, and this is what this is one of the reasons why, in my opinion, we often argue against the constant use of profanity. I mean, if you're always F word this, F word that, and of course you guys hear me during the breaks on the video cast, I'm F this, F that, SS, because during those particular times, my intention is not to write a book of poetry. My intention is to be understood. My intention is let's get to here. Nonetheless, I could clean my act up. There's no question. And when we hear people saying baby mama and my bad in everyday use, this is lazy speech that leads to lazy thinking. It leads to limited thinking. It leads to a limited ability to think. So don't ever believe in your wildest dreams. I mean, you may have every single hipster phrase and bit of slang down, and you may be very proud of that, and that's fine. But don't ever think that you're somehow expanding your way of viewing things or thinking of things. You're limiting how you view things and think of things. Learn more words, use more words, not fewer words, and use big and complex words. William F. Buckley said once, and you know, forget about his politics, a woman said to him, "Why do you use all those big words?" And he said, you know, in his way, he said, "Well, why don't you like them? They're unusual." She says, "Yeah, they're unusual. I never hear them." He said, "Well, you know, a minor diminished chord in music is a very unusual chord, but it still makes beautiful music." And the woman collapsed in a heap and began to weep.
She did?
No, she didn't. But I thought it was a very good point that he was making. In other words, why not use big words, beautiful words, magnificent words? They make beautiful music. Unfortunately, you came to the wrong place for that.
You heard that, man.
However, we can still tell you about celebrities with the most baby mamas. All right. Yes, celebrities with the most baby mamas here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Ching chong ling long ting tong.
Number one, it's Charlie Sheen. 5 kids, 3 women. That's right, Charlie doesn't just date women in their 20s. He's a father to one. When the tiger-blooded warlock was just 19, he had a daughter, Cassandra Estevez, with his high school sweetheart, second wife, Denise... with his high school sweetheart, who doesn't get to be named here, I guess.
But it's good for her.
True. Second wife, Denise Richards, gave him 2 more daughters, Sam and Lola, while the third, Mrs. Sheen, Brooke Mueller, bore him twin sons in 2009, or 2009, if you will.
Ching chong ling long ting tong.
When asked about her father's recent troubles, Cassandra, whom Charlie walked down the aisle in 2010, said diplomatically, "I love my dad is really all I can say right now. Otherwise, he throws me downstairs." This is not... I'm kidding. Don't look to see if he's really there.
Well, man, I don't know what the hell you're saying.
I'm kidding. She really said, "I love my dad is really all I can say right now. This is not my time to come forward. Someday I will, but not now." Ooh!
Man, she must have something she's hiding.
No kidding.
Oh, man, you think so?
Whoa! Number two, Sean Combs. Sean Puffy Combs, if you will, P. Diddy, Puffy. Six kids with three women. Let's see, five children with three women, six. Hey, I did you there, Chuck. Of all the names that Sean Combs has given himself, Puffy, P. Diddy, he's never thought to go with the obvious Prolific Daddy. Yes, the 41-year-old rapper and music mogul had his first child, Justin, in 1993 with his high school girlfriend. Justin, who was featured in MTV's My Super Sweet 16, received a $360,000 Maybach for his 16th birthday and a driver. Is that a car? I don't know what that is, man.
I think it's like a washing machine.
What do you mean a washing machine? He got himself a driver.
Yeah.
You need to have a driver for a... Yeah, no, it's got to be a car. Combs also has three children with longtime girlfriend Kim Porter and is an active stepfather to Porter's son with singer Al B. Schur. And in October 2007, he accepted legal responsibility for his daughter with Sarah Chapman after DNA tests proved he was her father. "At first, I wasn't sure if this was my child," Combs said. "Now that it's become clear she is, I will take care of her for the rest of her life." Well, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, you got to put her on her own 2 feet.
Yeah, I mean, when she grows up, then she's, you know, anyway. Number three, Kevin Costner, seven children, three women. Well, guess what? He just kicked your asses. For a man who already had three children from his first marriage and a son by a girlfriend, it seems odd that Kevin Costner was afraid of walking down the aisle again because of kids. "For years, fear kept me from marrying," he told Parade magazine. He's talking about his second wife, German-born model Christine Baumgartner. "Christine wanted a child, but I was afraid I couldn't be an effective father. But the Oscar-winning director got over that. He married Baumgartner in 2004 and had three more children. I don't think you should close off your life from your children," he said in 2008. Oh, God, this is... So then number four is Lil Wayne. Four kids, four women. But at least it's like, you know...
Yeah, keeping it reasonable.
One woman per kid, or one kid per woman. Here's Clint Eastwood, seven children, five women. What the hell, man? Million Dollar Baby, try seven. The 80-year-old Oscar winner has fathered children with five different women over the past 47 years, and six of those kids, including Allison Eastwood and Kyle Eastwood, have appeared in his dad's movie, in Clint's movies. The seventh, Catherine Eastwood, was Miss Golden Globes in 2005. What's that?
I don't know, but she won a Golden Globe.
No, she was Miss Golden Globes. Oh.
Yeah, the largest breasts.
Largest breasts?
Yeah, ain't that what that means?
Golden Globes are the Foreign Press Awards. Anyway, in 2004, Steve Croft interviewed Eastwood for 60 Minutes and tried to get him to talk about his unconventional fatherhood, but the famously laconic actor brushed him off saying, "F off." No, he didn't. He said, "I like kids a lot." Number six is Antonio Cromartie. New York Jet cornerback Antonio Cromartie has nine children with eight women, and he is two children and three baby mamas away from being able to field his own football team. I don't like that term baby mama. It's pissing me off. I mean, it's one thing to be reading about these slobs, and I say that with all due respect. I don't like that term, you illiterate bastards at Newser and the Daily Boist. What makes Cromartie's numbers even more impressive is that he's fathered... What do you mean impressive, man? What does that mean, impressive?
Well, I had a lot of kids.
Oh, I see. So he's able to spit out a lot of kids. Meaning what, man? Meaning he's a stud? Okay, he's a stud. That's still a lot of kids that got to get taken care of. See, that's the whole thing. That's the world we live in now. If you're able to stud 8, 9, 10 kids, you're some kind of a man. Doesn't matter how these kids are living, where they're living, or if they're living. You're some kind of a man because you got 85 million kids. I got to tell you this, and I love kids. If I knew that I had eight children somewhere with like six different women, I'd probably blow my brains out of my head. I wouldn't be able to keep track of it, man.
Why wouldn't you do what these guys are doing and pay them and pay about it? Or, I mean, pay it up.
But if you had a CAT scan or anything...
Yeah, I was going to say...
Seriously.
What do you mean?
You're always like, D-b-b-b-b-b-b-b-b. I mean, I think you really need to have your brain scanned or something.
Wouldn't you pay for them?
Yes, I'd pay for them. But if that's so, it's such an anti-Phil Hendry thing to do that if all of a sudden I woke up and somebody told me that you have 11 children by way of 8 women, I'd say, can't be me, blame Bob Marley. And he's dead, so...
Hey, good move.
Thank you. Well, look at this. It is Bob Marley, 11 children and 8 women. How about that? No women, no cry. Obviously, Bob Marley was not speaking from experience. The Reggae Legends website officially acknowledges 11 children by 8 different ladies, including several by his wife, Rita. I'm sure she's so happy to know that there were 7 other women with 19,000 other kids. But others claim to be his offspring. Several Marley kids have become musicians themselves. Most famously, Grammy-winning Ziggy Marley, whose new comic, Marijuana Man, will be released on, when else? April the 20th.
I don't get it.
420.
Oh.
Rod Stewart. Yes, he may look as old and as wrinkled and as crumpled up as any old man you've ever seen, but he's got 8 kids and 5 women. In 1978, Rod Stewart asked the musical question, "Do you think I'm sexy?" Well, 33 years, 8 children, and 5 baby mamas later, and we still can't figure that one out. We do know that he's got money. While modeling, I'm just going to start rewriting these things as I read them.
Go ahead, man. It's way better.
I'm going to have to, because some of these things are written so poorly. So anyway, 8 children, 5 women, this, that. Do we know the answer? Is he sexy? No, but he is rich. While model and actress Kimberly Stewart is the best known of Rod's brood, he was only recently reunited with his oldest child after 46 years. In 1964, a 17-year-old Stewart put his baby daughter up for adoption because he and his girlfriend were penniless, you slob. Sarah Streeter named that because she lived on the street for decades with a heroin habit until she found out that her old man was loaded. Then she tapped him up, as well she should have. Anyway, only learned of her famous father when she was in her 20s, and the two reunited last year after Streeter's adoptive parents died. I never was angry about what happened, really, she said. Yeah, sure. But now that I'm older, I see things differently and realize that it's been as difficult for him over the years as it has been for me. Now we're at the start of a new chapter, and that's wonderful. Basically, what that means is a check every month.
All right! You think she's going to want money?
Do I think she's going to want money? Yes. Do I think she should get money? Yes. Do I think she should hit him up for a lot? Yes. Are there people out there who probably would say, hey, they have a right to put a kid up for adoption, and she doesn't have a right to come back? Bull crap. If you're responsible for bringing a human being into this world by way of your voluntary actions, and you gave that child up for adoption because you didn't have any money, and then all of a sudden you got all kinds of money. Yeah, let me tell you something, Rod. They don't call you Rod for nothing, man.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'd like to read more of these, but there's only one more. Kevin Federline, 5 children, 3 women. There you go. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be back with our final segment here on the FAA requiring Boeing 737s getting checks after Southwest's jet lost part of its fuselage, some of the outer skin of the aircraft. We'll be back to talk about that here. Don't forget PhilHendryShow.com for all of your podcast needs and all of your webcast needs and all of your Phil TV needs. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
That's got to be what it is.
Oh, will you give it a rest?
Why not?
These guys, I'm arguing with these nuts now about these bodies that have turned up on Long Island in New York at a place called Gilgo Beach. Now, if you look at the map of Gilgo Beach, you will see, as we have it here on our display, on our webcast, you'll see that it is a... right there where that little red A is, it's in a fairly remote part of Long Island. Now, this is a part of Long Island. Long Island is actually very populous, obviously, and there's plenty of areas where there are high concentrations of people. But this is a remote little, almost like a sandbar, if you look at it on a map. It's just a spit of land, and there are wildlife sanctuaries. Well, right next to it, as we head to the north and to the east, is Fire Island. Fire Island famous for its gay resorts, gay beaches, so forth. So Bud here thinks a gay guy did it.
Yeah, could be a guy who kills women and then goes back to the gay restaurant.
What, man? What are you talking about? You sound like an idiot, man.
That's the best. What are you talking about?
What do you mean he kills women and goes back to the gay restaurant? What are you talking about, man?
It could be.
Yeah, it could be, Bud. And you know what? It could be a guy that flies in once a day from Afghanistan and kills them. It could be some, I don't know who it could be. Maybe these women are committing suicide. You don't know.
Oh, yeah, right.
All right, but I mean, for you to say, because it happens to be, well, maybe it is, I don't know. But because it's near Fire Island.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, this could be a gay guy, and then he kills a bunch of women and goes back before the dinner's delivered.
Oh, I see. So he's killing women just before they bring dinner, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, well, as long as you put it that way.
Get out of here. Ow!
No idea. All right, the FAA requires Boeing 737 checks after Southwest's mid-air split. Kills women and then goes back before dinner's delivered.
I told you.
U.S. aviation regulators will require carriers to inspect about 175 older 737s, the world's most widely flown jet. How much time we got here? Because I want to get to the good stuff here. For fuselage cracks, after a Southwest Airlines plane split open in flight. Good God. An emergency directive will be issued tomorrow. The Federal Aviation Administration said in a statement today there are about 1,800 of those models in service. The FAA is only requiring inspection on planes that have taken off and landed more than 30,000 times. It's called a cycle. A cycle. A cycle is take off and land. That's one cycle. Take off and land. That's two cycles. So 30,000 times is 60,000, 30,000 takeoffs and 30,000 landings, and that's a lot. And this story, when I saw this, boy, if you don't think it brought to mind that Hawaii Air incident, and Bud, you and Robert are too young to remember, but this was in the 80s, and I think it was in the late 80s, that a Hawaii Air or one of the Hawaiian Inter-Island Airlines, the whole roof of the thing ripped off.
What?
I'm telling you. And I mean, they were in flight, and the cabin was exposed. There was and when they landed, you saw people just buckled into their seats, and they were just like, they looked like being put through a wind tunnel, which is basically what had happened. And if I'm remembering correctly, one poor young flight attendant lost her life. I think that was the extent of casualties from this flight. I think everybody else was safe, but this one poor young woman, I guess, was pulled out of the aircraft.
Wow.
When the thing with the skin peeled off. And man, that was the same thing, man. I'll never forget, because the term metal fatigue, they kept talking about that. And it was gruesome. I don't want to leave you guys in a bummer. We'll look that up, man, and find out what happened there. Here's a good thing. Go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and get yourself a Phil Henry Show mug. Get the coffee mug so you can wake up in the morning and see our smiling faces. Get the Phil Henry Show shot glass so you can have yourself a taste to take a look at our smiling faces. Get any one of our great legacy CDs while you're there at philhenryshow.com. And also, when you're in the shop, coming this week, T-shirts!
Ow!
That's right.
Oh, man, I'll get mine.
Coming up, we have our official Phil Henry Show T-shirts. All of it ahead in the merchandise shop. Our show is produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Rick Johnson, and our associate producer, Dan Northcraft. This is the world-famous Phil Henry saying, until tonight, never mind.
Phil Henry.